The World Economic Forum just told us what's coming next in a full report they just released. Now, the World Economic Forum, they are calling to master the future. And of course, they get the world's leaders, the world's most influential people together in a meeting every single year in Davos, Switzerland, to figure out what they want to do without, of course, asking what it is that we want. And they wrote a full report, and we have access to lots of the recordings and videos that happened at that event. Now, there's a lot of information. It's taken me quite a while to go through it all, and I've pulled together some stuff that they have said, both in writing and some video clips. I'm gonna bring it to you directly from their mouth. I don't want you to hear it from me. So in this video, we're gonna break down what this report says. We're gonna pull clips out of it and show you specifically the report. And of course, this will lead us to show where they show us exactly what their goals are for your life, my life, for the economy, our money, how we travel, what we eat, and so much more. If you wanna know what the future holds, then you gotta look at what they are saying, and that's what we're gonna do. So let's go. All right, welcome back. If you're new to the channel, my name is Mark Moss, and I make these videos to change the way you think about money, because almost everything you learned is wrong, because almost all the information that you get is wrong. The information you've been given, what you receive, and we have to start to think about things differently. And we are going to break some of that down. Now, if you're not aware, there's a group of people, some of the most influential people in the world. They control the money, you know, the banking, they control the businesses, the corporations. And every single year, they go and they gather and they get together to think about how we'll change things through the financing, through the banks, through the governments, and through businesses. And they do a pretty good job. Now, it's been proven, a Harvard MBA, so of people that went to Harvard, so these are elite people or above average, let's just say, they go to Harvard to get into the MBA program, less than 3% of them had written down goals. What they found is that those 3% of people that did have written down goals made 10 times as much money as the 97% combined. So it's the power of having written down goals. And there's one group of people who have them written down. It's the World Economic Forum. And they just published a report. It's called the Global Risks Report for 2023, which tells us what our risks are that we're facing. What's gonna happen? And then they got together in Davos and they had a big meeting about this to explain what they're going to do to mitigate this. So we're gonna look at exactly that. What does the report say and what did they say so you can understand what's gonna happen next, at least according to them. Now, I like to say, not if there's anything I can do about it. And how about not if there's anything that we can do about it together? This is their goal, but it's certainly not what I want. It's probably not what you want. And so it doesn't have to be true because they don't control the future as long as we do something about it. So let's dig in. Okay, 18th edition. They've been doing this for a long time. The World Economic Forum is not brand new. It's the 18th edition of what they call the Global Risk Report. And basically what they try to do is through their think tanks is they try to identify what the most severe risks will be. And they look at it in a time frame of 1 and 2 years and then a 10-year plan. So kind of what's the short-term risks and what are the long-term risks? So that's how we're gonna kind of look at it. Now, in the meeting, Klaus Schwab, he opened up this annual meeting in Davos as saying that we need to be the masters of the future. They need to. He needs to be. Well, I don't want him to be the future, or I should say the master of my future, and you probably don't either, and we're gonna talk about that. But what are they saying? So let's look at some of these risks just to start it off, and then we'll dig in, we're gonna hear directly from them. This is a screenshot directly from the report. And what we have here is we have the biggest risks in 2 years, and over here we have the biggest risks in 10 years. 2 years, 10 years, short term, long term. And what we can see is we have in the short term, the number one is cost of living increase. Inflation, no doubt, right? Inflation's raging high, and they continue to see that be a problem. I have been saying that I think inflation is some of the lowest that we'll have in the decade, and they seem to agree. Inflation has not peaked. Maybe it's peaked for right now. Yes, I think the official CPI number will come down this year, which gives the Fed pause to start printing more money. It's another contrarian view I have, but overall, the gas in your car and the steak at the grocery store will cost more money. They put that as number one. A couple other things, natural disasters, extreme weather, geo-economic confrontation. Geo-economic confrontation, financial wars. That's what that means. Failure to mitigate climate change. And they see that the fourth risk in a 2-year, but that goes to the number one risk over 10 years. Failure to mitigate climate change. That's the biggest risk that we have in 10 years, supposedly. The climate's gonna kill us all. We're gonna hear more about that. Then we have the geoeconomic confrontation, they believe goes from number 3 all the way down to number 9. So they see more potential peace in the future, probably because they're globalists. They have Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, got up on the stage and he said, "We need a one world government. How can we solve the number one problem of climate change if we don't have a one government? If every government's on their own, we'll never solve this." So they see that going down. I think they think that globalism works, the one world government. Erosion of social cohesion and societal polarization. That's number 5. They see that going down to number 7. So they think that we'll get along better in 10 years than we do in 2. Now, the reason why we have this is a couple of reasons. One, we have a lot of lies and gaslighting, and we also have a big radical shift. And mostly what we have, on one side, we have freedom lovers. Let me do me, and you do you. We can all get along that way, because I say that you should be able to do what you want. Of course we're gonna get along that way. The problem is when you tell me what I have to do and I don't like it. And so I think that they're wrong on that. We can keep going on. We'll put a link down below to the full report. You can read it and so forth. But let's keep digging in, because I want you to hear exactly what they're saying directly from their mouths. And I got some videos to back that up. Now, like I said, this is the Global Risk Perception Survey, the GRPS. And of course, what it all basically boils down to, if you didn't get the gist of that, is climate. Climate is to blame for everything. It's the reason why we're all gonna be mad at each other. It's the reason why we're all gonna have to pay more money. And it's the reason why we're all probably gonna die. And if you think that's hyperbolic, let's hear directly from the father of this movement. I'm talking about Al Gore. Let's go ahead and play this video from him.
On the earth, that's what's boiling the oceans, creating these atmospheric rivers and the rain bombs and sucking the moisture out of the land and creating the droughts and melting the ice and raising the sea level and causing these waves of climate refugees predicted to reach 1 billion in this century. Look at the xenophobia and political authoritarian trends that have come from just a few million refugees. What about a billion? We would.
Wow. That's from the guy who invented the internet, by the way, Al Gore. The guy who told us 20 years ago the world would be over and all the polar bears would be dead. That's what he told us. He's been wrong over and over and over. I don't know at what point do we stop believing a liar and someone who gets it wrong. I don't know at what point. But apparently the rain bombs, apparently, is what's happening. Apparently the oil, the oceans were boiling. I haven't seen that yet. I'm in the ocean every day. As a matter of fact, I'm a surfer, and I really wish the water could get warmer. So I don't know what he's talking about, boiling oceans. It's freezing cold here where I'm at in Southern California, by the way. Apparently, climate refugees. Well, I know the U.S. has over 5 million people illegally entering from Central America and South America, certainly not coming here from climate. I would imagine the Ukrainian refugees are not coming there for climate either. I'm not sure what he's talking about. And then he said, it's the reason why we have xenophobia. The climate is the reason why xenophobia and authoritarian or dictatorial governments. So because the climate's bad, that's what's causing us to have authoritarianism. Or is it because you're trying to tell me what I have to do? Is that the authoritarianism? Seems like you're trying to use this as the cause to be an authoritarian. So anyway, that's him. Let's hear more from them again. I'm gonna show you what they said, and you're gonna hear it directly from their mouth, because I'll look like a crazy person otherwise. Okay, in the report, going back to the report, they broke this down. This is compounding environmental crises. So basically what they have here is environmental damage, failure to mitigate climate change, biodiversity loss, natural resource crisis, climate, all leads to the biggest problem, which is chronic health conditions. And so because the climate is then gonna make us all sick and we're all gonna die. It's not that you got the medicine that's causing a higher death rate. Supposedly now they're telling us it's the climate that's killing us. And so they're gonna continue to say that. And if we look at the report, if we look at the severity, this is a grid. And so basically the higher and to the right means it's the more urgent. And then higher to the left would be long-term severity down here. And so the most extreme and most urgent is, again, natural disasters, failure to mitigate climate change, failure of climate change adaption, natural resource crises. Cost of living crisis is way over here because in order to do this, they want to jack everything up. And what I like this one here in the middle, and this is the big key, big talking point of the WEF. We're going to talk about this. Right here, the one circled in red is misinformation and disinformation, which they would probably want to accuse me of because I'm saying things they may not want you to hear, even though I'm just showing you what's in their report. So because of all this, it's going to be one of the biggest problems we have is misinformation and disinformation. That's the blame. So what do they have to say about that? Well, what they want to do is they want to control us, but of course for our benefit, right? You take a lion who's free in the jungle, but it's not safe, right? A lion has to fight other lions and the lion has to kill other animals for its food or it starves to death, but it's free. But for that lion's benefit, we could lock it up in a cage and we could give it antibiotics and steak every day for its benefit. And it's no longer free. So they want to control for their benefit. How do they want to do that? Well, they talk about using technology to control. So of course, I've been telling you this for a long time, but you maybe think I'm crazy. So let's hear exactly what they have to say. As a matter of fact, here we go. Here's a clip. You might recognize this guy. He's a well-known, well, he used to be a well-known host on CNN until he lost his job, Brian Stelter. And he is interviewing somebody from the World Economic Forum telling us about misinformation and potential laws that are going to happen in the United States. Let's hear that clip.
As illegal hate speech, which you will have soon also in the US, I think that we have a strong reason why we have this in the criminal law. We need the platforms to simply work with the language and to identify such cases. The AI would be too dangerous.
All right, so these are non-elected leaders of American politics, non-elected leaders. We don't even know who they are. They're in another country. And she's telling you what laws will be to protect hate speech. Now, I don't like it when people say mean things to me, and I get 5,000 comments a week. I get people saying mean things. Is it a crime? Whatever happened to sticks and stones can hurt my bones, right? Now, let's keep going into this. So this misinformation is the big problem, right? Misinformation. So this is directly from their report. Misinformation and disinformation are a potential accelerant to the erosion of social cohesion. Misinformation is the reason why we're all not liking each other. Oh, I thought it was because mainstream media keeps telling you that you're a victim. I thought it was because they kept telling you that you can't get ahead because of systemic problems. I thought it was because they keep telling you that the other side doesn't like you. I thought it was because social media analytics work really well by agitating us, by making us angry. That's how they get engagement. That's what gets the news headlines. I thought it was that, but apparently it's misinformation. You've been lied to, all right? Potentially to destabilize trust. So misinformation destabilizes trust. No, no, no. You know what destabilizes trust? When you lie. And when you lie over and over. And when you're wrong over and over. And then when you censor the truth, that's what causes distrust. So when you say, I wonder if we added all that up, if that was the real number of the outcome of those votes. And they say, forget that. Anyone that talks about that, we're going to ban their account. 8,000 YouTube accounts got banned within a short period of weeks. Hopefully this doesn't get me banned. Well, a way that you would build trust is like, okay, let's count it again. How about let's just set up a camera on a live stream everybody could watch. Let's get one person from both sides on there just to watch the count. And whatever it is. And we're cool with that. That's how you bring trust back. When you hide, when you censor, when you rip out a man's tongue, it only proves you have something to hide. A prominent tool for geopolitical agents. So if we expose the truth that doesn't go along with their narrative, apparently we are agents. Now, this comes from the report. This is great. It says here that it's perceived as moderately severe risk. So this misinformation is a severe risk. It says they will need regulatory constraints to prevent misinformation. And if they do that, they won't be able to keep pace. So most likely, these they won't be able to keep pace on stopping this misinformation, and it will continue to polarize and undermine social trust, causing greater strife. This could lead to increased incidences of threat, campaigns, and political violence. Social and political polarization may also further reduce the space for collective problem solving. No. Open, honest discussion, open, honest debate. That's what builds trust. That's how we come together, by discussing these things together. If you have a fight with your husband or your wife, what works better to get past that? To sit down and talk it out, maybe with a mediator in the public, or just go to your opposite ways and don't talk and just hate each other? Open, honest discussion is how we get through this. But that's not what they want to do. Now, they want technology to take that over. Now, there was a book written called Fahrenheit 451. Here's a picture of it, written by Ray Bradbury. I'd highly recommend that you read the book. Now, if you don't want to read the book, then I might recommend that you watch the movie. There's a movie called Fahrenheit 451. I forget this actor's name, Michael Jordan. I think he played Apollo. Pretty good actor, pretty good movie. And you can watch the book in movie format, about 2 hours, and it's highly entertaining. I'd recommend it. The premise of the movie is that a civil war happens. And the war was so bad because two sides were so polarized that they fought each other. Sound familiar? And so what they did is they said, well, the reason why we had the Civil War is because these two sides couldn't come together because they believed two sets of information. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to wipe out all the information of the world, and we're only going to provide the truth. So whatever the government provides is the truth, and so we have to go and burn every book. We can't have books anymore. Books, information, knowledge is the problem. And Fahrenheit 454 or 451 were the firemen that would go burn up the books. Kind of like what they're trying to do, shut down information. Watch the movie or read the book, I'd highly recommend it. Now, what else? Other information, other technology? Well, other things like health passports. That would be basically movement checkpoints and gateways, so they would know exactly where we go, when we go there, and allow us whether we can go there or not. Sort of like in China, they have that in place already. And during this recent protests that were going on over there where the government finally caved, they didn't want the Chinese people gathering to protest, so they would just turn their health passport red, even though they weren't actually red. They would just turn it red and they would lock them down. And so, you know, you might think I'm crazy, but let's hear directly from Tony Blair. You might know who he is. A war criminal and, previously head of the UK. Let's hear directly from his mouth.
You need to know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't been. Some of the vaccines that will come on down the line will be multiple, there'll be multiple shots. So you've got to have, for reasons to do with the healthcare more generally, but certainly for a pandemic or for vaccines, you've got to have a proper digital infrastructure. And many countries don't have that. In fact, most countries don't have that.
Okay, so there you have it. Health passports. I'm not crazy. That's what they want. What else would they use? Well, they could also use things like central bank digital currencies. They could use social credit score system. And when you take all of that and put it together, the money, the movement, the social credit score system, you get some other things like, how about a carbon tracking system? How about you're only allowed to travel so much before your carbon score gets too high, so then you're cut off? How about you're only allowed to eat so much meat until your carbon score gets so high and you're cut off? How about you're only allowed to buy so many goods until your carbon score gets too high and they shut you off? Sound crazy? What if you want to buy more stuff? Well, you have money and you buy it. So rich people can buy more credits and they can keep living. Poor people, you get stuck in place. I know that sounds dystopian and you think I'm crazy. Let's hear directly from their mouth.
How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned. We don't have it operational yet, but this is something that we're working on.
Okay, so there you have it. Again, at the World Economic Forum, this is what they are trying to do. What else? Let's keep going. Now, some other risks that they see happening, and of course this isn't hard to understand, is the risks of a cyber storm or a cyber pandemic. Cyber attacks, right? Internet hacking, things like that. They could consider that to continue to expand, to get worse and worse. As a matter of fact, they think it gets so bad that we have global instability. At this report, they call for a response to this. A response to this cyber storm or this cyber attack that could come. They call it, quote, a catastrophic event is coming. They said that, and so they believe it will happen within the next 2 years, a catastrophic cyber attack. And so they have to do something now to preemptively prevent this potential threat from coming. Now, I know that sounds crazy, so let's again hear directly from their own mouth.
And our partner Accenture, which we've interviewed and sought input from over 300 executives globally. The most striking finding that we found is that 93% of cyber leaders and 86% of cyber business leaders believe that the geopolitical instability makes a catastrophic cyber event likely in the next 2 years.
So there you go. You heard it directly from him. How do we prevent a cyber attack? Well, we can't allow people to use the web anonymously anymore. Everybody must use their own ID. We must grant people permission to get on the internet. In China, facial recognition before you even get on the internet so they know exactly who's saying those mean things about the government. But of course, only for your protection, that's how we're going to save you. Now again, you heard it from them, not from me. What else? Now, I know we joke a lot about eating the bugs, right? They don't want us to eat steak because apparently cows are now bad for the environment, apparently. Well, again, this is directly from them on their own website. You got to dig a little bit. You can find this. Good grub, why we might be eating insects soon. And they think we should stop eating meat. And as a matter of fact, I know that sounds crazy. And here's the chairman of Siemens, one of the largest companies in the world, directly from the chairman urging 1 million people to give up eating meat. Let's hear directly from his mouth at the conference.
How can you advocate for these zero carbon value chains if you still eat meat? Now the math would say, well, you need to stop eating meat 11 years to compensate for a flight to Thailand.
Okay, so we should just give up meat. Now, granted, he's saying this from his position being one of the richest men in the world at a time when the UN says on their own website that potentially 1 billion, one out of every 8 people on the world, could potentially starve to death in the next 2 years. We should just take away the food, just take away the meat. Now, what impact would that make? Well, if you quit eating meat for the next 11 years, it might make some sort of an offset of one flight. While these guys are on their private jet flying once a day, once a week. Yeah, that's what they think. Of course, they want you to give up the meat. You heard it directly from them. What else were they talking about? This is the best part. The poly crisis. What does that mean? Well, things are just going to be so bad that we're not just facing one crisis. We're going to see so many crises come at us at one time that we will not know what to do. The poly crisis. It's a cluster of misinformation is going to come at us so hard, and you're too stupid to know what you're reading, and you can't think for yourself. And so we need to censor everything and just give you one source of truth, sort of like the movie Fair and Fight 451. And then the other thing is the cyber attacks. They're going to be so bad that everything is going to be at risk. And so nobody can use the web anonymously anymore. As a matter of fact, everyone has to be given permission to use the internet, right? Permission. And the other one is climate, because Al Gore told you it's the boiling oceans that are causing the xenophobia and authoritarianism. And so if we just all listen to what they say and we don't travel, we don't move, we don't eat meat, we don't use the internet, then they won't have to be authoritarians anymore. Okay. Do you believe that? If you believe it, I might have some swampland or a bridge to sell you. All right, so the poly crisis, as they call it, we can see here, it's a natural resource and climate. We need cooperation. They say that potentially 200 million people are facing food insecurity, more, 200 million more are facing food insecurity. And then people worldwide, there's without electricity rose to an estimated almost 1 billion people. Rose. Not a billion people don't have it. Almost 1 billion people more don't have electricity and don't have enough food. I would call that a crisis right now. Al Gore wants to tell us that in the future, if we don't fix these things, that there will be this massive crisis. But we have almost 1 billion people more without electricity. That's a crisis right now. Almost 1 billion people could starve to death right now. That's a crisis that I think we should be facing right now instead of this hypothetical of what could happen in the future. But of course, it's all about saving the world. If you, this proud, free lion, king of the jungle, will just gracefully go into this cage over here and just shut up and take your medicine, they can save the world. If you just give up control, if you allow the WEF and the UN to plan everything for you, of course, central planning, how do they do that? Klaus Schwab says we need to get rid of democracy and create a public-private partnership where the corporations and the governments just decide everything for you. And if we do that, then we can save the world if you allow us to master the future. Now, I don't want them to master my future. Do you? What do you have to think about this? You heard it directly from their mouth. So am I crazy or are they telling you? I'd love to hear what you have to think. You can leave me a comment down below. Of course, as always, give me a thumbs up on this video if you like it. It's a lot of research that went into this video. Hopefully you like that, click the like. If you don't, you can give me a thumbs down. That's okay, I still wanna see that as well, but at least tell me why in the comments down below. Hit that subscribe button so you know when I put new videos out, and that's what I got. To your success.